What is up, everyone? I said, what is up, Kelly?
You say it every time.
Oh, I don't say what's up. That's right. That was the backwards.
What is up?
That's right.
It's just a unique thing because you only say it on the podcast. I never hear you say it in real life.
Well, I had someone walk up to me and tell me that that they also noticed that, and then you pointed it out. And so, anyways, hey, Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing so great. How are you?
I'm good. Shane, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Glad to be here today.
Oh.
I just wanted to...
This makes me
Alec
so mad.
Loves Christmas. Today, just in case you're wondering, today is October 31st. Officially the day that Alec likes to put up his Christmas tree.
I'm curious. How many families out there do set up for Christmas now, or they wait till after Thanksgiving?
I think it is far more people do it now than probably even 5 years ago. I think COVID was the time of COVID, I think people started to put up Christmas a whole lot faster, because in 2020, everything was so sad. And so people were like, I legitimately saw people putting up the Christmas decorations in September in 2020, just to have some sort of happiness.
Spark joy. I'm not gonna lie, we did watch multiple Christmas movies in July of 2020. Now, granted, my son
Hallmark Christmas
is
movies?
No, I hate Hallmark movies so much.
Hot takes with Kelly.
I hate them, and I will go to bat every day for that. My son is obsessed with Christmas. Like, I one time watched a documentary about a grown adult who just loved Christmas too much. And I looked at Mark, my husband, and I was like, I think that might be Jude. As an adult, like, he hates Halloween.
Same.
He only wants Christmas. Like, he listens to Christmas music all year round. It's just, it's funny, but he just loves it.
I am not that.
That's
person.
Okay.
You're Scrooge.
I'm,
okay.
I'm married. No, I'm not Scrooge. I am married to a person who does love Christmas and looks for the earliest moment that she can start decorating.
But I stifle her excitement.
I don't stifle her. Here's the thing. I love Christmas. I would just like for us to stop and acknowledge Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. I love Christmas, but I also love November.
November is a great month.
Let's just enjoy November a little. Let's not just jump right into Christmas.
See, that's what I'm saying.
I agree with you, Shane.
That's where I'm at.
But my thing is... So the classic argument of if you start Christmas too early, you're not thankful, is stupid.
Okay, that voice is
what I hear when I hear people say that.
Well,
statement.
Here's the deal. I'm going to say it.
Yeah,
go ahead. That's the problem with the world today.
Oh my gosh, you boomer!
Wait,
we want to jump straight to the holiday where we get to get gifts.
Ooh.
But we don't want to stop and be thankful. And
I thought Christmas was about giving, not receiving.
It is. And that's exactly what it should be.
It is.
And that's why we need to take time for Thanksgiving so we can be appreciative and give out of our thankfulness.
But here's the deal. If you're thankful every day, Thanksgiving is year-round.
Ooh, be careful.
What?
What?
If you're thankful every day, if you have an attitude of gratitude every single day, Thanksgiving is year-round.
So why would we just skip this holiday and jump straight to Christmas?
You want to skip just a holiday that is like... All Thanksgiving is, it Ooh. Is 5 seconds of, oh, here's what we're thankful for right before you eat. To say Thanksgiving is this big
goodness.
Day of thankfulness
this
as
is,
a general statement, see, I think is inaccurate.
See, this
You
is,
could also get into the historical roots of Thanksgiving, and
correct.
Then it's even more bizarre.
Correct. So I think the historical roots of both holidays are not good for any Christian to be staking a flag in. So, like, you know, Jesus wasn't even born on December 25th.
He was not.
So
he was not. And I believe in Scripture, he did not say, remember my birthday. He says, remember my death, burial, and resurrection.
Shane says, Jesus said, remember Thanksgiving, because that's more important.
He did not say that.
Nope, I did not
Shane
say that.
Shane nor Jesus.
But I think being thankful is huge in today's world.
Oh,
which is
I
great,
agree.
Because that's actually what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Is cultivating gratitude
yes.
with our kids.
And I am so grateful for November and December as a whole. But anyways, yes, cultivating gratitude. How do you, Shane, how do you not let your kids be spoiled?
That is, That's a tough question, and I don't know that I actually have 100% the answer, because I feel like every day I'd have conversations and fight against that. There's a great book called Raising Grateful Kids in an Entitled World. That's a great resource. But I think part of it is every day we have to step back and remind them of what they need to be thankful for. And a great example of that is someone, and I forget who told me this or where I've heard it. I've heard it from multiple places. Someone said every day you should start by preaching the gospel to yourself. Mm. And so I don't do it as much as I should, but I try to get up in the morning, and first thing before I get on my phone or before I do everything else is walk through the gospel. Walk through of Jesus stepped out of heaven. He took on the form of man. He was all man, all God. He lived a perfect life. He was falsely accused and paid the penalty for my sin and died a painful death to die, raise again, so that I could live in eternity with him. And you say, how do I teach my kids? I think I've got to teach myself that too. Mm. It's to constantly go back to, I live my life today because of what Jesus did for me years and years and years ago.
That's really good. I think it starts with modeling it, right? So, Shane, you bring up a good point. Like, we have to, as parents, live with the mindset of gratitude. And I recognize it when my kids start complaining, and I'm like, oh, goodness, where'd they get that from? And I'm like, oh, wait, me. But that's so true. Like, we have to model what it looks like to have gratitude, even in difficult circumstances. I think, too, I got really good advice from my former executive pastor's wife. Her name's Amber Bassham, so shout out, Amber, if you're listening. But she once told me before I had kids, she said, Kelly, when you have kids, say no every day. Even if you can say yes, just say no to something and make it trivial, sometimes make it significant. And I remember being like, Amber, what are you talking about? But then I had kids, and they'd be like, hey, can I have the snack bar? I'd be like, no. Why? Because I said so. But no, we're going to have something else. And I would just try to redirect them. But by saying no from a young age about both significant and also insignificant things, I think it helps teach your kids the differences between wants and needs.
Yeah.
So like, you want this thing, but no, you're not going to have it right now. And then the next time you get it, Lord willing, you're a little bit more grateful because this time it was a yes. So that was just a kind of an interesting take on, hey, learn the concept of saying no so that your kids can appreciate your yeses. And I thought that was a really practical thing that I was able to implement from a young age so that my kids didn't have these massive meltdowns every time I said no to something. I mean, scripture is so clear, like rejoice always, like be grateful. It's a command. So we're all expected as followers of Christ to model and exemplify an attitude and a posture of gratitude. But we live in a culture of instant gratification, and our kids, our community specifically, I think we have a lot of very fortunate families, and our kids just aren't always exposed to what it looks like to have less than. And so I think it's really important to expose our children to the diversity of the world that we live in. Yeah. And help bring awareness, because you can't fault a kid if they have no exposure to what it looks like to go without. And so that begins practically with like reading books about what it looks like to grow up in different parts of the world where maybe food and dinner every night is a huge privilege and a huge blessing. We do something every November called Operation Christmas Child. It's just a fun family tradition that we have, but we'll go and we'll shop and we'll pack shoeboxes, and these are, you know, given to kids in different parts of the world where they'll also receive a gospel message along with a Christmas gift. And every year I use it as an opportunity to help my kids understand, like, hey, on Christmas morning, you're going to wake up and you're going to get all these gifts. And that is such a blessing. Like, you should be grateful. But there are kids around the world that are going to wake up and they're not going to have a Christmas tree. They're not going to receive anything. And so I remember the first time I like pulled up a YouTube video and I showed them a video about Operation Christmas Child. And my daughter looked at me and she's like, she couldn't understand. She's like, they really, like, they don't have a tree? I'm like, no. She's like, and they don't get anything? And then they're like, well, does Santa not come to them? So it's like, also, you got to explain that. But it was one of those really great teachable moments to just help them understand, like, there are such vast differences from the way that you're growing up to the way that other kids are growing up. And I hope that these things are instilling in my children a sense of, wow, like, because the Lord has blessed me in certain ways, I am now able to also bless others.
Kelly, you said something just now, and I'd never put this together in this sense of thankfulness and mission trips until what you just now said was how many times do we take students on mission trips and they come back and one of the biggest things is they realize how blessed they are or how thankful they should be. And what you just said is doing that, but you're starting it at an early age where you don't necessarily take them, but you show them and you teach them. And whether it's through Operation Christmas Child or even, you know, one of the things I love to do is our church on Christmas Day goes in and serves a lot of officers and fire departments and just bring them food. And I love taking my kids to that just because I just want them to go, we've been blessed. Let's go and, you know, there are people who have to work on this holiday and there are people who aren't at home right now. Let's go spend some time celebrating them and giving to them. So like I said, it should have made sense in my head before this, but when you just said that, that's why when we take kids on mission trips, that's why when we go serve with our families, they're learning the attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big. That's big.
I think serving as a family is a really huge tool. Because even food for families, I love that our church does food for families. And I realized, like, I've got three kids. It is way more challenging to go to the grocery store with three kids in tow. But I will do it for food for families because I want to use it as a teachable moment.
Yes.
To say, hey, we're going to take this bag. We are going to fill it with food items and we are going to gift somebody else a Thanksgiving meal. And again, it's helping my kids understand that not everybody has this. And this is a tangible way for us to show the love of Christ and to be generous and to show kindness to people right here in our own community.
Yep.
We signed up to bring those bags one year and that was a trip all in of itself. My son didn't understand social cues whatsoever and walked into a stranger's house and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So that was a whole nother thing on lessons on social, just what's appropriate. But again, here's the thing. As parents, it's easier for me just to order that, like Instacart it, whatever, go pick it up at Walmart and just be done with it. It's going to take me longer. It's going to be more complicated. And I might be frustrated in the process to take my children. But that's how we teach them gratitude.
Yes.
So much of parenting is a sacrifice on our end to, Lord willing, produce a human who loves Jesus and loves people. Somebody recently said to me, they said, you can't love God without loving people.
Ooh.
And I was just like, amen.
Yeah.
And so to help our kids cultivate gratitude, yeah, we've got to show them what it looks like to, you know, die to self and to put the needs of those around us above their own wants.
So how do you know you're doing that well?
How often do your kids complain and when they open a gift just shout, where's my next one? No, I don't know. I mean,
I think it may not take right then. You know, it may be a few years down the road where your kids come back and go, wow, thank you. And I remember doing this and this is valuable. And how they act and treat other people I think it's big, but I feel like in my house, it's a constant battle.
Daily battle.
Yes.
Kids are ungrateful from the start.
And it's like, I'll give you a great example. Crew. Love Crew to death. But the other morning, I thought my wife was going to kill him because Kristen will get up in the mornings and make breakfast for him so they have a breakfast. And he comes in and goes, I feel like, he goes, we have this every day. And I just went, oh, you've lost your mind. I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm tired of having this. And I go, his mama handled it very well. We got in the car and I handled it a little differently. So I go, have you lost your mind? I go, you don't talk to your mom like that. Your mom gets up in the morning. She makes you breakfast so you have something in your belly. I mean, and I went off and I go, you have to understand what it means to truly be thankful. I said, I said, my mom and dad worked and were gone before I even got up. So we made our own breakfast. And so, but it was just, it is a constant, constant thing where you're just, as a parent, and I probably didn't handle it well, just because, but I was mad for Kristen because I know that's one of her love languages to her kids, mm-hmm. of, hey, I'm gonna make sure you go to school, because they could have cereal, they could have a breakfast bar, yeah. but she wants to make them something. Go ahead.
One of the things, whenever I talk to parents and I'm complimenting them on their children, parents are always shocked. Like 9 times out of 10, they're like, my kid did something good? And I'm like, yeah, they were awesome. Like they had this, you know, I'll brag on their kids. And I think sometimes as parents, we see our kids in their comfort zone.
Yes.
So like we're gonna see them at their worst moments. Whereas when they're out of our home or they're at school, on the ball field, wherever, I feel like those are those wins where you don't even get to see them, honestly. Maybe you get to hear about it later, but they're actually living out the values and the things that you've taught them. And so I think about that all the time when I have conversations with like teachers or other parents, of just like, hey, I try to call out the good things I see in kids because parents unfortunately don't always get to see. But also, parenting is for the long game. And I don't know about you, but when you think about the lessons that you hated learning as a kid yourself, and now as an adult, I have gratitude. For instance, my dad would punish all of us if one of us didn't do the chores. And I remember looking at my dad and being like, this makes no sense. I've done my chores. Why am I being punished because my sister didn't? And he would look at me and he would say, it was your responsibility to tell her if she didn't do it. And I was like, that's insane. And so, but he had this like very, very like team oriented.
Team.
He was a Marine and he was like, look, he's like, if you fail, you all fail. And I was like, that's not true, Dad. And he was like, it is in this house. So, but here's the thing. Now, in life, in leadership, in so many different examples, I am so grateful that my dad instilled in me teamwork. Because to this day, I have my dad's voice in the back of my head. Like when I'm on a team with somebody, whether it's a sports team or like a working team, whatever it is, and somebody doesn't do their job, I don't just walk away. I go, hey, man, how can I help you get the job done? Because that was what my dad made me do as a kid. Now, as a kid, not grateful for that lesson at all. As an adult, super grateful. So I think sometimes we may not even see the benefit of what we're trying to instill in our children for a decade or two. Like, your kid's 5 right now, they're ungrateful, they're unruly, they're complaining about everything. That's normal, first of all, parent. That is a very normal, standard, typical development type thing. But Lord willing, when they're 25 and they have a hardship in their life, they will model gratitude because they watched you as a parent navigate hard circumstances with a genuine desire to say, Lord, what are you teaching me out of this hard moment? And how can I learn and grow closer to you? And then also, how can I benefit the people around me by loving them in a Christ-like way?
That's great. And just along those same lines, it goes back to how we view Christ. You know, if we view Christ as we have to earn, we live our lives for Christ to earn something from him, then we've missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we understand that we live our lives out of thankfulness,
yep.
to what he's done, well, then that changes things.
That's worship.
Yes, that is worship. And that goes back to, golly, just from the very beginning, instilling in our kids the importance of worship is not just what we sing,
mm-hmm.
it's how we live our lives every day. That's great. I love that.
Sometimes, and I'll do this for myself, like you ever have those days where you're just mad, like you're mad at the world and you're just like bummed out, frustrated, whatever it is. I will sometimes take out a journal and I will just start like listing things that I am grateful for. And sometimes it starts basic, like I'm grateful for the sun, I'm grateful for coffee. And then eventually it gets like more, you know, maybe meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
But I did this the other night. My kids were all in sour moods and I was just like, hey, what's one thing you're grateful for? Nothing. And I was like, really? Like, is that where we are today? But here's the thing. When we really are in those moments of just like, blah, the world is over, and we really shift our mindset, and I'm like, please, try to think of one thing that you're grateful for. Candy. Okay, great. Aren't you so glad candy exists? Yeah. Like, and just trying to ham it up. But it really does. It shifts the atmosphere when you suddenly can focus on the things and the people and like the goodness of God, the things that you're truly grateful for, it completely changes your demeanor, your attitude. And so I try to do that with myself and then also with my kids sometimes, just sitting around the dinner table. And let's be real, it's not always pretty. Some nights they don't come up with anything. And I'm like, all right, we have work to do.
One of the things we've tried to do is we put a poster board on our garage door that we would go out, and we would tell them before they walked out in the mornings, they had to write one thing they were thankful for, and they could not repeat what they had already written on there. And so it was a challenge. And there were some days where they're like, I'm thankful we're going to school. You know, I'm like, no, you're not, because you've griped about school all morning. But just to get them to start the morning with, man, how am I thankful? What am I thankful for?
So what are just, because that sounds great in theory, but what are practical ways that you model that kind of gratitude to your kids? Because what I'm hearing is it starts with you and your spouse, if you have one. And so how do you handle that? Because Kelly, you're talking about complaining and your kids picking it up from you, and I'm like, oh gosh, my kids are screwed. Like, not that I complain a lot, it's just unfortunately every situation I walk into, I see how it could be better, and sometimes my filter doesn't catch all of it. And so I know my kids are going to be highly opinionated, because I am. And so how do you handle that, where they see gratitude in you in a genuine way, to where they reflect that rather than maybe the other side of complaining and different things like that?
Yeah, I think a lot of discipleship is honestly just talking. It's explaining your thought process and your behavior to your kids. I remember growing up, my mom was militant about us writing thank you cards for everything. Birthday gift, an experience. I mean, literally, we would get it, and it felt like immediately she was like sliding the card, like, have you written a thank you yet? But again, that's another thing that in the moment as that kid, I was like, all right, yeah, I'll write the thank you note. But as an adult, I'm like, I am so glad that she made me do that. So there's practical things like that. You know, my kids just had birthdays, and I was like, we're going to send, you know, and you don't have to always be a note, but it's like, hey, I'm going to record a quick video of you saying thank you to auntie who just sent you this gift. A real aunt, don't worry, Shane. And it's like, hey, you know, let's show that we are grateful for things. But even talking it out, like, they will hear me complain. And I think a big part of parenting and discipleship is modeling repentance and forgiveness in front of my kids, because I mess up every single day. And I can then go like confess that sin to the Lord, and I can repent of it, and I can change through the power of the Holy Spirit. But my kids, if they don't actually see that part of my relationship with the Lord, they just see, oh, cool, mom is psycho and messes up. And now she's back and she's like being all intentional. So I'll tell them like, hey, I'm really sorry for how I handled the situation. That was not the best. I'm sorry. I had to ask for forgiveness. So I think part of it is just talking it out and explaining it and then letting them know like, hey, yeah, when these things happen, that is hard. And it's okay to be upset, but I don't need to let my emotions dictate my response. And so choosing to have joy, choosing to be grateful, even in hard things, because one, there's going to be a lesson in it. And two, the Lord has allowed hard things to happen, not because he doesn't love you, but because that deepens your reliance on him. And I think I try from a really young age to help my kids understand that like everything that we're going to experience can be a tool to deepen our faith in Christ, even when it's really hard or uncomfortable.
And then I think there's practical stuff, like, you know, when we're at the dinner table, we do good, bad, good. You know, we start with something, hey, tell us something good that happened today. Tell us something you struggled with. And then we end with the good again, because we always want to end with being thankful and being positive. And then just honestly, it's there were little things. Like, I remember even Kristen, when the kids were younger and she was, you know, she was carrying around three kids to go to the Walmart. And she got a parking spot up close. She would just go, hey, God, that, you know, out loud. God, thank you for this parking spot. And just to get our kids to, and then it was funny, because then I'd be driving them and I wouldn't think like that. And then we'd get a good spot and they'd go, Dad, you forgot to be thankful for this parking spot.
I love that.
And I'd go, you are 100% right. So like Kelly said, we have to model it, but there's little things we can do within our day, whether it's you've got younger kids or older kids, just to challenge them to stop. And I get all your friends have this, but what has God given you? Mm. And to get them to really step back and see. Mm.
Well, that is all very good. And, you know, I don't know. Thanksgiving's coming up, and it's, what is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a Thanksgiving alarm.
Oh, it's the timer.
Everybody stop. See, matter of fact, I've got an alarm on my phone that goes off at 12 every day.
To show
day.
Gratitude?
Yeah, just for me to stop.
Wait, is that real?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't hear it in every single meeting every meeting.
Except for Sunday. I have an alarm that goes off at noon every day.
It's Oceans.
Just for me to stop and go, hey, what am I thankful for?
Wait, that's so practical.
It is.
I didn't know that.
It is. And it's funny because a lot of our staff, they'll look at me and they'll go, what are you thankful for, Shane?
Wait, I love this, Shane. So that was the gratitude. So guys, what are you thankful for?
Are you actually asking?
I mean, yes. I was asking our listeners, but yeah, I can ask
okay.
you too.
Yeah, in the car, say right now what you're thankful for.
So cheesy.
Shane, say what are you thankful for?
Honestly, I'm thankful just to be back at work and from the sabbatical and just getting to do some things I haven't been able to do in a long time. And so I love what I get to do.
Mm. Kelly, you're next.
Oh, I love seasons. I love the change. I know that we're like in Tennessee, so sometimes the fall doesn't always feel as real. But there is something so fun and so exciting about the change that happens every year, even though it's cyclical. So I love the seasons.
Yeah, driving in today, I also was like, man, I'm thankful that I live in Tennessee. Not to say, if you're in another state, so glad you live there. I've lived in Tennessee all but 6 months or 12 months of my life, so a year. And that wasn't at the same time. But I don't know, like the fall in Tennessee, we were driving to Alabama and, you know, the rolling hills of Middle Tennessee, you just see all the colors. And I'm just like, man, this state is beautiful, and I'm thankful for where we are that the Lord has us in this season, and it's really cool. So anyways, I'm thankful for you guys, thankful for those listening, and if this was helpful, please share it with your friends, with other people that you may feel like it applies to, of, you know, with kids of all ages or soon to be parents or nowhere near, whoever. Hopefully it's helpful for anyone. And if you want to be part of the conversation, we'd love for you to be. All you have to do is text PARENT to 98173. That's PARENT to 98173. You'll get a link for a form that will give you the opportunity to ask a question. And we'd love to be able to speak on topics that you guys want to know about. So anyways, with that, you can start celebrating Christmas by the time you're done listening
after
to this
Thanksgiving.
Episode.
After Thanksgiving.
Shane, we just covered. You're thankful year-round. You can celebrate Christmas whenever. So Shane, Kelly, thank you so much for your time. And thank you guys for listening. We will see you guys next week. See you.
Bye.